All right, good morning, everybody. We are not live from the studio this morning because I am in Cape Town and Leanne is in her house.
In my house.
How are you?
Good. What's happening in Cape Town?
I'm down here for some work. We've got a couple of meetings today, but I'll be back tomorrow.
And apparently tomorrow is going to be as cold as the witch's titty in
Oh,
Gauteng.
no, not again.
So
I'm just over this
is it
schizophrenic
coming
weather.
from Cape Town?
Well, it was pretty cool when I got here yesterday. I wouldn't say it was warm. I had to put on a jacket once I landed. But Joburg was so nice. I mean, listen, Gauteng was beautiful over the weekend. I mean, Sunday was okay, but Saturday was a hot day. I was in the sun most of the day, and it was incredible. And you get here, and you're like, "What the hell, man?" And now you tell me it's going to be cold again.
Yeah, apparently, I think.
Don't like it. Listen, how was your weekend? What did you do?
Well, my parents had a show day of their home because they're selling it,
Oh, okay.
right? They're downsizing.
Right.
And it's 2 hours, but you won't believe how many people and animals need to be displaced in order for the show day to take place successfully. So,
So they all have to get out.
yeah, we all have to get out, wheelchairs and all, and carers, and staging the house, getting the dogs out, finding somewhere for them to go to another place where another dog is, so that dog is moved. Then the aunt needs to come because if these dogs will only listen to her. Eventually, we were all sitting in my brother's house with lots of animals and carers, and we just
No,
thought so much displacement.
you're the perfect person to talk to about this because I think that there are some people where the animals actually rule them instead of the other way around. My aunt is like that. My mom is probably like that some of the time too, but luckily she's got my dad around. You get people who literally the animals make the rules in the house. They are the ones who decide. And any decision that is made is like, but what about the dogs?
Yeah,
It's a
you
horrible
can't live your
situation,
life
but
like that.
you can't actually. You won't have a life because you'll spend your entire life running around these animals. And they will basically dictate what your day looks like, where you go, what you can and can't do, who's allowed into your house, who isn't. And that's no way to live. Let me tell you, if you think that that's clever as a pet owner, you've lost the plot. You need to actually have someone take you in hand and like sort you out because that's not good. It's not good for you. It's not good for the dogs. I mean, listen, if you are allowing your dogs to rule the roost and they pretty much make your life a nightmare, you have to, every decision you make, you have to consider them. That's not right. Then the dogs have become a burden and a responsibility that makes the fun side of owning an animal horrible.
Yeah, you've got to firstly think very carefully about what sort of pet you have, dog, cat, or whatever, fish, birds. Because cats are obviously more independent and you can have somebody come and feed them and spend maybe an hour or two a day with them, as
Sure.
long as they've got enough enrichment in the home and each other or do their normal thing, they're happy with that. So if that's the type of lifestyle you want to lead, like a bit of a lock up and go, and then maybe that's the pet for you. But with dogs, they're needy. But then you get breeds that aren't so needy. So once you've decided on a dog, there are some breeds that get by without so much attention.
Listen, also it's neurotic humans. It's not just the animals. Like you could have
No,
the
completely,
easiest
yes.
animal in the world, and then you get some crazy cat lady. And I mean no disrespect. I know you're one of them. My one really good friend, she's got seven cats. I love her, and she's amazing. She does have a boyfriend, so you can't say that she's like undateable just because of the cats. But she's got seven of these things, and they rule her life. They're in
Yeah.
charge. It's not her life, it's the cat's life. Bitcoin Bud says, Gareth, you can't compare children to animals. Yes, you can, actually. I think a lot of people they think that, oh well, if I can look after a pet, I can look after a kid. That's not true. I think
No,
there's a
definitely
huge
not.
amount of there's way more work in a person, obviously. But actually, like the people who are super weird and let their pets run the house will definitely make terrible parents as well. there's a similarity that's worth making a comparison for. Maltese poodles are Satan, and so are the aunties who own them. Yes. Now that I agree with.
There's a very big difference between a Maltese poodle and a standard poodle. And then further down as well, Danny Bloomberg saying, don't get a spaniel. Well, that's exactly what I was thinking about when I was thinking about attention-seeking dogs. Not your type of spaniel, but, what is the standard spaniel called?
Cocker spaniel, Springer spaniel.
Cocker spaniel. I mean, if there's a dog that's going to possibly take over your life, and if you're prone to letting an animal do that, a spaniel will do that.
If you own enough cats to eat your corpse if you die in the house alone, then you're officially a cat lady. How many cats would it take?
At one stage, I had 8 cats, and one in particular, I would wake up and she was gnawing on my hand quite badly.
Oh my God.
And I thought at that point, they're going to eat me alive.
Yeah.
Or when I die, there won't be any trace of me.
Is there a comparison with a cat lady? Is like, the more cats, the drier the vagina?
Probably.
Speaking of dry vaginas, someone sent me this picture of Barbara Streisand over the weekend just because they know I love her so much, right?
Mm.
Look at this. I cannot believe her. Look how awful she – isn't she looking terrible?
I mean, how old is she?
No, but come on. That she – I can't really tell. At first glance, I wasn't sure if it was Bette Midler or Barbara Streisand. But, I mean, they're both as absolutely incorrigible as each other. So it wouldn't really make a difference.
She's looking more like Bette Midler.
Oh, look at those. Look at the glasses. Look at her. She's about to say something, like, really irritating. She's just such a, like, a hectoring harridan.
I have a friend who listens solely, very much like Dory, I suppose, to 80s music.
Yeah.
And anything that was in that era. And he refuses point blank to listen to Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, I won't listen to her.
Cannot stand her.
No, I don't know what it is. Like, she just drives me crazy. But speaking of the 80s, Leanne, this came up. You know, people send you memes and things, but this one really made me laugh because the hairstyles are so on point for the 80s, but also the expression on the dad's face. But read the... You can read this out loud and you can describe it to people, okay? Are you ready?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's what looks like a family portrait, which is very bad. A lot of stonewashed denim on denim, and very bad hairstyles. And it says, when your dad has a perm and listens to Whitesnake in his Camaro, but takes the time to put the Marlboro down for a family picture.
Look at that dad's perm.
It's still burning behind his back. He's still holding either the Marlboro or what were those Lucky Strikes with no filter?
Yeah, Lucky Strike, yeah.
No filter.
But look at that dad's hairstyle. He looks like a Maltese poodle, but with dark hair.
Well, it's shaped like a pyramid, which isn't very flattering at all. Most of it's curly, and then the fringe looks like it's pretty much straight. So there's a bit of a mixture going on there. Mom, shame. Also pyramid, but shame.
But that was very popular in the 80s. Why did people want a perm?
No, it's back. Guys are getting perms. Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
It's back?
Yes, 100%. Guys are getting perms and back into the mullets.
Oh, my God, that's true. Even George, who's joining us just now on the show, George says perms are back in fashion.
Absolutely.
No.
Men perms, there we go. Men perms are making a comeback. Thank God I don't have to look for a boyfriend now.
Oh, my God, that's true. Look at that. It is a thing. Men perms.
Yeah.
Why do guys want a perm? Explain this to me.
It's almost circled back since the series Stranger Things. You know of that, right? Which was very much based on a group of kids growing up in the 80s.
Right.
And so it was back to the Lumo tracksuits and the baggy pants and the bad hairstyles. And so now, since then, I believe, just from my observations, it's become cool to look terrible.
Not for the
girls, though. The girls have to still look hot.
So the guys want to look terrible.
And you know what? It's very much what I saw during my time in Australia years back. The uglier the guy, the more desirable they were.
Is that why they're going for like mullets and mustaches and all that stuff? Because I've never met a girl who said, oh, you know, I love a guy with a fucking pedo mustache or like a mullet. They don't ever say that. So you think these guys are like making themselves as unattractive as possible just to prove they can still look attractive?
Something like that. It's just become cool to look a bit disheveled. I mean,
so mix,
are not brushing their hair anymore. They're not
grooming really, and styling. Don't do this. If you have a person in your family who's falling for this crap, stop them immediately. So Mick says that dad in the picture needed a pack of Gunstons, and I found a picture.
Oh, wow. There we go.
Gunston cigarettes. Do you remember that?
Yes. The pack was yellow.
There's no way that this picture comes from Gunston, the originals, because it's got a danger, smoking will kill you. And that was never a thing in the 80s.
No ways. No, it was a glamorous, fantastic lifestyle. Gunston was for if you were like a cowboy type, if you longed after the Western movies and all of those stars, that was a Gunston. Oh, yeah, but you know what? Smoking laws are changing quite heavily in South Africa. As they are around the world. But I did read an article saying how so much is going to change. So apparently, at work, if you work in an office environment, you've got a smoking area somewhere outside. Yeah. Apparently, those will not be allowed anymore. So wherever your boom is, where you drive in, that smoking and vaping stops.
So right? Why are they doing this? I mean, what is this like? It's a witch hunt. It's become a witch hunt.
I know you were even against it when during COVID we had to not smoke. You were like, but what's the reason?
I don't think that people are being honest about this anymore. I think it's become like a low-hanging fruit thing where politicians feel that this is something they can do something about. And instead of actually making a difference in people's lives, like James, our producer, smokes, right? Mm. For better or for worse. And he and the other guys, when he goes out for a smoke, he can stand on the balcony, which I have no problem with.
Yeah.
Or they can go down into the parking lot and stand there and have a ciggy. And it's not like they throw their cigarette butts all over the place. Mm. I don't think this is a problem. Why are other people, like, who's affected by this, that they want to chase these people out of the building, out of the parking lot? Mm-hmm. Where do they want them to go?
Into the street, probably. Another thing, if your neighbors now can lay a complaint, and if they do, you are not allowed to smoke on your property.
No, that's horse shit. I'm sorry, someone must try that with me. If I were a smoker, and this is the funny thing, right? I'm a non-smoker defending this stuff. It's just, this is outrageous. By the way, here's a pack of Winston. Do you remember them?
Those are still definitely around.
Are they?
Here are three reasons why Winston is America's number one cigarette. Taste, taste,
taste.
Full, rich tobacco flavor.
Yes, exactly. What was the other one? What were those ones that came in a black packet? Do you remember those? Like,
not sure.
What were they called? Someone in the comment section will know. But they were like,
I remember, weren't they Fun Ryan's as well in yellow? Which had
Rembrandt van Rijn.
Rembrandt on the front. Rijn.
Yes. Rembrandt van Rijn. And John Player Specials. That's the one.
There you go.
John Player Specials. Part of our childhood.
We're after action, satisfaction. Lexington.
Lexington. The one. That's the one. In Australia, every guy has a stupid mullet. They look terrible and homeless. Mm.
Oh, you just look at all the rugby players now as well. It's also become a thing.
Well, that's where I saw it over the weekend, right? So I watched the rugby, and that's where I thought, why are they doing this? You know, I have to go like this. Maybe it's like a statement of super masculinity in a world where masculinity is not considered cool anymore. Maybe that's it.
I don't
Here's
know.
A John Player. So look, Leanne.
Oh, yes. Those are quite fancy. Those were
John Player specials.
They had the is that the British?
Yeah, it says by appointment to His Majesty the King.
Which meant that they smoked these. They actually consumed these products.
Now you wouldn't ever find any public personality, any politician. They don't smoke. They don't want people to know that they smoke.
Yeah, I mean, there was Barack Obama who admits that he smoked, but he didn't really care that he would be caught in a photograph smoking.
Carl says, my mate's dad used to smoke Texan Plain. He died young. Shame.
Yeah.
Jesus. Benson and Hedges. That was what my dad used to smoke. So, Leanne, I was sent to the shops at age 14. I couldn't drive, but I drove.
Yes.
Because I was sent to the shops by my parents and their best friends. And I remember the order I had to get. And this is in like 1990, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Like, Gareth, go to the shops. We need some cigarettes. Okay. But I'm 14. I didn't think twice, right? I get in the car. I start the car. I drive the car to the little like spaza shop down the road because we lived on a farm. And I go, one packet of Benson Hedges Special Mild, one packet of those old blue Vogues for my mom. She used to love those. One packet of blue Stuyvesants and one packet of red Stuyvesants, please. Thank you.
Oh, those red Stuyvesants were pretty harsh.
And the guy at the counter was like, no problem. Here's your... Yeah. I was 14 and he was selling me cigarettes. Right?
No change. Take tappies.
Exactly. And then I'd pay, get the cigarettes, go back. And then if my parents were going away for the weekend or they were going somewhere, we were all going on holiday, they'd tell me to go and buy a carton.
So now while you were doing that, I was buying my own cartons at that age. Benny and Henny, that's what we used to smoke.
Yeah.
Which we'd get from Checkers. No problem. In your school uniform, standard 6, grade 8.
Yeah.
And you could buy a carton of Benny and Henny. No problem.
Kali says we used to call the red Stuyvesants 24 volts.
Yes, they are still around and very potent. Yeah. That's
California Investation says Jeremy Clarkson is a celebrity, he's an unashamed smoker. I just think that it's become absolutely mad that people can't even smoke on balconies and in the parking lot of a building. You know, I heard this brilliant story the other day about a woman who ran a company, and she was this really like gung-ho, hardcore CEO type, right? Like the kind of woman who, when you find someone like that for your company, you're like, yes, this is the perfect person. They're going to make us so rich. Because they just work 24/7. And she used to smoke, but like a lot. And so they tried to impose these rules on her. So she bought the building and declared it a smoking zone.
Wow.
The whole building. She bought the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, look, these changes that are coming now, we can't really be surprised by them. Think of how much has changed. I would read the news on 5FM while I was smoking.
Yeah, I remember you would often go like this, even though you didn't have a cigarette because you were so used to it.
We used to write the news in the newsroom. Every now and then somebody's bin would end up in flames because, you know, we would just put our cigarettes out with the paper.
And offices used to have ashtrays in them.
Of course.
We don't think about this on planes. People used to smoke on planes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, these changes are small. So I don't mind things like, you know, they've improved airplane travel by telling smokers you can't smoke on them because that's not fun. And I never used to enjoy going on like long car trips with my parents because the cigarettes would. I had to take a car trip with them this weekend. Both my sister and I had to go with them. Because we did this family graveyard thing. I don't know if you saw my Instagram, but we went, my dad's redone the whole thing. Someone has to, right? It's been there 100 years. There are all these relatives of mine buried there. So someone has to look after the place. So it actually looks damn good. Like my dad's done this amazing job. Look at this.
Wow.
He's made it look really, really cool. So it's he's done all the paths like this beautifully, put down all of this kind of gravel along the paths. I mean, they burnt it so that they got rid of all the grass that was just growing out of control. Mm. And it's a very, I mean, it's a very beautiful part of the country. So it's out there near the Hartebeespoort Dam.
Hartebeespoort.
Yeah, look, Hartebeespoort. There we go. There's how it looks now. And there's these beautiful trees with like these little green flowers on them. I mean, at this time of year.
This time of year, yeah.
Yeah.
So nice. Wow.
Yeah, and then this is the... That's pretty cool. I found out what this is called. It's called a columbarium or a cinerarium. So you'd put all the ashes in there.
I went to a Jewish funeral just recently, and to me it looks like the place that you have to go because you do a lot of walking in the cemetery. And then afterwards you get a brush or a cloth for your shoes to take off the dust.
Yes.
And then designated basin spots with
that's actually a part of the religious ritual with Jewish funerals.
Yes, that's right.
You kind of
so that's what that looked like to me.
Yeah.
But those green flowers are called leaves.
No, you idiots. They are actually, I don't know what it's called, but someone looked it up after we were there. I mean, it's a beautiful part of the world. Look at that sky. I mean,
yeah.
I've said it before. I have such a good feeling about the fact that I know exactly where I'll end up one day. I'll end up in this thing, this thing. I'll end up in one of them.
So you will be cremated.
Probably. And then everything between now and when I end up in there is up to me. I can do whatever I want. I can have a really fun life. I can do cool things. I can meet cool people, have interesting experiences, maybe make a positive contribution to the world, and then I'll be gone. I'll be in that thing. And that's okay with me. You know, so many people have a problem with death, and I think it's quite cool to do this. Anyway, we all drove out there to go and take a look at this place now. And on the way, my dad's like, and I looked at him, I thought, it's been a long time since I was in the car with you, and it still really drives me up the wall when you smoke in the car. Because then there are other people and they can't escape, right?
I would never consider smoking in the car with non-smokers.
Yeah.
Because even if you are a smoker, sitting on a plane or a car or in the smoking area somewhere is horrible. It's not great.
There are still no smoking signs on planes, probably from the 80s. Yeah, exactly. Mm. It shows you how old those planes are. Arthur Cedric Meyer says, Gulwaz. Do you remember Gulwaz Blonde?
Gulwaz Blonde.
They were called Legal Dacha and Camel was Camel Shit.
It's strange.
Jittery Cursor says, the brown carpeted walls in the SABC are from smoke stains.
Yeah. If you went down one level into that, like apartheid museum, those wooden paneled walls had absorbed decades of cigarette smoke and nicotine.
Oh, for sure. I didn't know this, but Jason says Russell Crowe smokes a box a day. He said so during a podcast with Joe Rogan.
Box a day is not too bad.
Yeah, but you see, Russell Crowe is like the last proper Australian.
But that's now why he sounds like this as well.
Exactly. Hello, my name is Russell Crowe. So I got into a fight with Herman Mashaba over the weekend, but I didn't even know about it.
Oh.
We did the show on Friday morning and I mentioned how I've had enough of like politicians saying that taxpayers are the problem when we are helping other people by subsidizing the fact that they don't pay. And municipalities have got to get their act together because they're actually doing the people of this country a huge disservice. And the best example of this is what's happened in Tswane, which is where I live. And it's Herman Mashaba's stupid party that have thrown the mayor out and created chaos. So I said in a tweet, I think it was the last and one of the few tweets, I said, yeah, I look forward to not paying my rates and taxes to this shit show of a municipality anymore. So Herman Mashaba has a complete shit fit. I think he's having like a breakdown because he's done so badly in these elections and he just can't seem to find a constituency. Everyone hates him. So he goes, this man, talking about me now, needs to be taught a lesson by the Tswane municipality if he lives there. Can you see what he's doing here? He's like, he's asking the municipality to come after me. He's asking the state to use its power against me. How's this? He goes, this is not 1948. I don't know why he says 1948. I wasn't born then, Herman, even if you were. I wasn't around in 1948. He goes, this is not 1948 where you governed by coercion and brutality. Leanne,
what does he mean by you?
I own. I wasn't in charge in 1948, and I never governed by coercion or brutality. So I don't know whether Herman Mashaba is reading the same history book as me.
Yeah.
Can you help me understand this?
It's a very odd
then
comment.
He says, which you have not apologized to millions of South Africans who endured such treatment. So first
what
of all,
what did you do
English,
to millions of South Africans, Gareth?
First of all, his English is absolutely appalling. Second of all, I don't have to apologize for shit, dude. I was not in the government. I don't have family who were in the government. I didn't make any of those rules. I was born long after all of that was put into action. And by the time I got to school and finished school, apartheid was over. So what the fuck are you talking about, you lunatic? He's a raving lunatic. So I said on Instagram, because I didn't have Twitter on my phone, I still don't, I said, I deleted Twitter off my phone, but somebody told me Herman Mashaba is upset with me for suggesting a tax revolt in China. I'm so proud of upsetting the leader of the 125th biggest party in the country. What's wrong with him?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a wild, wild statement that does not apply to you.
What an idiot.
He's obviously referring to whites. And just grouping you in that category.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's the collective.
So he's a black and I'm a white.
Mm.
This is very high-level thinking. Just give me a second to catch up. I actually need to just get my brain into the right gear so I can make sure that I'm on the page with Herman. So because I'm white, everything any white has done ever is my thing. Yes. And anything any black has done is his thing.
Yeah. And that brings up a whole nother opportunity for a comeback, but yeah.
V. Ruiz says, I think Mashaba has syphilis of the mind. Herman Mashaba can go and fornicate himself, says Congo Chris. Inaction SA, inaction SA, I love that, does nothing of value. All they want is to sow division. Herman has sold out, says Carl DeSantis. Everyone who voted for Action SA, it's disgusting. I'm so disappointed in him. Yeah, I have not heard anything good about him for a long time now. There's a reason that the DA kicked him out. What lesson does he want? Herman, you're a dumbass. These are the comments that are coming through now. Why no X on your phone, Gareth? Because it's not a fun app. It's not the kind of app I want to have with me all the time. And because I don't use it for primary communications, I don't need to have it. Kevin says, irony is he's attempting the very same method of state force he accused you of. Well, exactly. He's basically telling the municipality to come after me in particular. So he's saying, bully him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, use the state against him, which is precisely what the apartheid government would have done if Herman Mashaba had raised his voice during the 90s when he was, or 80s when he was making all that money off of black like me. But all right, Herman Mashaba knows what the death bell is tolling for his wannabe DA party. He can just fade into obscurity and suck himself off at the thought of what he once was. It seems his and Michael Beaumont, who's his deputy in Action SA, seems like their whole purpose is just to stand against the DA. And by the way, as I said on Friday's show, it's not like I'm a big fan of the DA at the moment either. Okay, I've got a lot of problems with them. So it's not like I'm saying this stuff because I'm acting on behalf of them. The DA can also get fucked. I'm not that interested in what they're doing. White man bad, white man do everything wrong, says JP. Yeah, well, that's, you know, if you are a really, really, if you're a simpleton, that is how you see the world. And maybe he is just a simpleton. You know, the funny thing is, Leanne, I had him in my studio, 4 or 5 months ago, just before the elections. And he was charming and friendly and he was desperate for votes. These politicians are such crooked bastards. Mm. As soon as they turn on you, there's no loyalty here.
No.
There's no actual friendship. There's no real, like, if I bumped into Herman on the street now, I'd be like, hey man, what the hell?
Yeah.
And he'd probably go, you know, we're just playing the game. And then I'd be like, no, you know what? Ha ha ha, go and shove it up your ass. Because you're not a real person.
It was actually a similar situation to when we had Julius Malema in the studio years back. Very charming. Nice guy.
Yeah. But I'll tell you something. I'm just very disappointed. And if I see Herman Mashaba ever again, I will go straight up to him and say to him, "You are a duplicitous snake." And I didn't know this about you. And I'm sorry that I didn't see this when we were sitting at dinners together, or when I'd bump into you at things and I'd introduce you at an event like I did before as the mayor of Joburg before you'd done anything, and said, "I think this guy could make a change." I was stupid. So you know what? I'll admit it in front of you next time, and I'll tell whoever's around in the room too that I think that you're just completely full of shit.
Yeah.
Very disappointing that Herman has gone this low to justify his low behavior. Dirk says, "I was never a fan of Gayton, but he's the only honest one among them. All he wants is power, and he's not ashamed to say it." Yeah, he did say that. I don't know. Anyway, I mean, it doesn't bug me, and I didn't know about it until late on Saturday night.
Yeah.
But there we go. Stupid. It's just ridiculous. And I'm also not going to become clickbait for him, you know.
Exactly.
Let's move on. There's lots of fun stuff to talk about this morning. Look at this, Leanne. See whether you can tell where these words come from. Edgar Allan Poe's poem, right? Go.
But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours, only lonely. My love is vengeance that's never free.
Edgar Beautiful, Allan Poe. Right? So Edgar Allan Poe wrote that. But if I go, but my dreams, they aren't as empty. Right. So there were two versions of that. There was the Limp Bizkit version. And before that, there was The Who, who used exactly these lyrics from a poem by Edgar Allan Poe, and the song's called Behind Blue Eyes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Probably would recognize it if I heard it.
I heard the song over the weekend and I thought, wow, that's pretty damn good lyric writing.
Yes.
And so I looked it up and this is what I found.
There you go.
Isn't that great?
So Love
I thought
it.
That was fun. And then this, while we're talking about things from history, somebody sent this to me over the weekend. Diarrhea was the leading cause of death in the American Civil War. Did you know that?
I did not.
And there was an unwritten code of honor among Civil War soldiers that forbade the shooting of men while attending to the imperative calls of nature. So if you saw an enemy soldier taking a shit, you weren't allowed to shoot him.
No shooting while shitting. And I did think that was a picture of Donald Trump's penis for a second.
It's a cannon. That's a cannon.
His mushroom.
Listen, this thing about Israel taking out all these Hezbollah leaders is quite incredible. So they got rid of Nasrallah or whatever his name is. Nasrallah. Look at this. They've eliminated everyone in the high command. Everyone. And somebody said a while ago, in fact, a lot of people were saying just a short while ago, oh, no, Hezbollah are much stronger than Hamas. It's going to take Israel a lot longer to wipe them out. And, you know, don't, for God's sake, you don't need a war with Hezbollah. They've got much more firepower and they're very well organized. And now, obviously, Israel has, in probably what is the most targeted war and the most intricately planned and executed destruction of an organization in all of human history, if you ask me. They've taken out all of these guys. Look at them. Everyone eliminated, 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 eliminated. And with the smallest number of civilian deaths it has ever been possible to achieve at the same time. I mean, this is absolutely amazing. In case you didn't watch Benjamin Netanyahu at the UN, he also put everyone in their place and called them out for being just the most pathetic, venal politicians in all of human history. It's like, why is Israel the only country that isn't allowed to win a war? Look at that. all of those guys eliminated. I'm so, so impressed with this. You don't have to necessarily support Israel, but you've got to admit that is unbelievably targeted.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at military tactics and
phenomenal
war plans.
It's phenomenal. I love it. It's absolutely incredible. That is just tactically and strategically probably the most the most beautifully put together and executed plan of any military nature in all of modern history. So it blows me away. Douglas Murray gives some good insights into the Israel business. Absolutely, Patrick. As you know, we had Douglas out here in, I think it was February or March, and I spent quite a lot of time talking to him. It was just great to hear someone who's the most articulate person on this issue, talking about it with it with all kinds of people all across the country when I got to spend a couple of days with him. Absolutely amazing. And it's all, you know, shows you just how clever Israel and how dumb Hezbollah are. Israel just so clever compared to Hezbollah. Hezbollah are like, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're like useless.
No, I mean, if you look at what you've just shown us, is clearly what one side is planning better.
No, one side's just cleverer than the other. You know, we're not allowed to say that these days. You're not allowed to say, oh, shame, they're stupid and they're clever. Mm. Hezbollah are dumb and backward and primitive. And Israel are super technological, super smart, and they're, you know, a country of the future. It's just incredible. There's not even a comparison to be made anymore.
Yeah.
Dirk says, Benjamin is putting all the stops out to ensure he stays in power. And the great thing is the West is slowly losing its influence over Israel. Well, I think it's slowly coming to a point where Israel is not going to want or need any help from America or any other country.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a very good thing for Israel. I would like for the Israeli government to eventually say, you know what, we don't need any support or any help from you anymore. We'll do this on our own. Because they can.
Well, they're showing that, aren't they?
Yeah, they're rapidly approaching a point where that's going to happen. Let's not forget that Israel invented hip-hop, says Congo Chris, as per Ben on Friday last week.
I was going to say, what a statement is that?
Judas says, if you read the Bible, in the Old Testament, the walls of Jericho fell when the Israelites walked around it for 7 days. When the Israelites pray, the Lord is truly with them. All right, Judas, calm down. You know, yesterday was Sunday. Calm down. V. Ross says, Hezbollah's whole plan is to just find heavier rocks to throw. Well, apparently there were a whole bunch of people in Lebanon who, you know, stood up and they were protesting. They raised the red flag. They raised the redder flag. And they got on scooters. Like, you know those scooters? Like,
yeah.
And there were people driving around in Lebanon with their Hezbollah flags on their scooters. And so somebody on social media said, oh, no, it's the feared 24th Armored Scooter Division of Hezbollah. What a stupid, stupid bunch of idiots. Proper Agenda says the Argentine president told the UN to go and fuck themselves this weekend too. Yeah.
Oh, really?
The MLA. I don't know why they don't just shut down the UN. It doesn't do any useful things in terms of global politics anymore. And I don't see why we need an international charity organization when there are already so many who can do the job. Really, it's time to just put these people to, it's a huge bureaucracy, huge sprawling bureaucracy of unnecessary crap. Shut the UN down and let's move on.
It's changed from what it was.
All right, listen,
and it's just
I'd love to talk about the UN all morning, of course, because it's so exciting. But let's get James on quickly to tell us some sport, and then we'll get to Dr. Hanan. We have things to do, people. We don't just sit here and talk shit every day. All right, producer James, what's happening?
Hi, how's it?
How you know, you're doing? Really, you're such a good producer. You've got the sun coming right through your curtains at the most awkward angle.
I've done well.
Right into our eyes.
It's fixed.
Okay, there we go. That's better. All right, James, give us some sport. Tell us what happened over the weekend for those who don't know.
Alrighty, not an awful lot in the sporting world this weekend. We'll start with the Rugby Championship. The New Zealanders beat the Australians in the final round of the Rugby Championship, 33-13. South Africa beat the Argentinians 48-7, which means we took the Rugby Championship home with us. And I just want to show you guys real quickly. South Africans are unmatched. And there was a bunch of pitch invaders after the game on
Saturday. I saw that.
And this unfolded, producer James with the dirty car, this unfolded after the game on clean out from him.
I mean, when he was taken down, he was really taken down.
Let me tell you something, Nelspruit. Those people drink a lot, hey? And you can see the stadium is full. It looked like a hell of a nice vibe there. But imagine having to be the security guard who tackles some idiot in his underpants. Because they always come on in like a Speedo or underpants. It's always like a guy who's out of shape. And he thinks that, I don't know, does he think like some woman from the crowd is going to go, oh my God, I'm so in love with you. You look so beautiful. I can't wait. That this is the moment I've always hoped for. You in your Speedo on the field at the Booker game. Oh, this turns me on so much. Just marry me now. What do they think? Yeah.
I think it's just more clout amongst his friends.
Okay.
So that at every bribe from now until they die, he'll be remembered for this.
Right.
My question is, what happens to, am I the only person that doesn't know, what happens to someone after they've streaked? Where do they take them? Do they take them to
they must have holding cells in stadiums. Must have.
They probably just give them a like written warning or ban them from the stadium or something. Right. I don't know. Do they arrest them?
Yeah, I mean, I've wondered this for years. I mean, they obviously
just not knows. If anybody knows the answer, I'd be fascinated to hear it because I think I find it very entertaining when this stuff happens. I really don't give a shit, but I kind of feel a bit sorry for the security guards who have to like grab these people by the fucking Speedo or tackle these pasty white men and pull them down to the ground. I'm like, what a horrible job.
Sometimes it's also like a woman that's streaking. So how do you handle that?
That's okay. I have no problem with that at all.
Especially the topless ones.
Yeah, but especially if you're a really good looking woman and you are brave enough to do that, I'm like, go for it. You just go.
Dutch courage is what it is.
All right. So tell us more, James.
We walked away victorious from the Rugby Championship this weekend. We secured 5 wins out of 6 games, which is the most we've achieved in any single campaign. We also beat the All Blacks twice to take that sequence over our old enemies to 4 wins in a row, which is the most in the professional era. And then we also ensured our first Freedom Cup since 2009, which is quite crazy. So that's the Rugby Championship all wrapped up. They now do international tests. The Springboks, they go to the North. They play a couple of teams that side. Speaking of the North, the URC also happened this weekend. Glasgow played Benetton. They won 42-10. Leinster beat the Dragons 34-6. Lions, they beat Ulster 35-22. The Bulls beat Edinburgh 22-16. And the Sharks, they lost to Connacht 36-30. So almost a clean sweep for South African teams in the Rugby Championship. And then the Premier League, Man United are just the worst. It's cemented now. It has to be. They lost this weekend to Tottenham. They lost 3-0. Sorry, my phone's frozen. Liverpool, they beat Wolves 2-1. Newcastle and City, they drew 1-1. And then Arsenal and Leicester. Arsenal won that game 4-2. So the big news coming out of that weekend is Liverpool top of the log, City in second and Arsenal in third. Even bigger news, Chelsea is 4th and Man United is 12th, which is something we love to see as football fans. And then lastly, the PSL happened this weekend. Sundowns, defending champions. The team everybody just assumes to take the Betway Premiership every season. They beat Kaizer Chiefs 2-1. And Pirates beat Richards Bay 1-0. And that was pretty much the sporting weekend.
All right. It sounds like they take these streakers very seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Pitch invaders. Yeah. Apparently, like, they book you for a night. They put you in jail. Mugshots. You get banned from the stadium for life.
So it's really not worth it, is what you're saying.
Mm-mm. No, it's very sad. They arrest the streakers. They get a criminal record.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. That's quite hectic.
No way to treat a person with such courage.
I know. I agree. Be a little more respectful. All right. Thank you very much, James. And if you were betting with Superbets over the weekend and you took Ben's position on some of these bets, you will have probably done okay by the looks of things.
You would have.
Very, very nice. And, of course, Superbets supports responsible gambling, strictly no under 18s. Winners know when to stop. South Africa's Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline is 0800 006 008. Thank you, James. And here is Dr. Fanon.
How are you guys?
Fantastic. It's Monday morning. I'm ready for a 5-day week. None of this bullshit Tuesday public holiday nonsense, getting people all distracted. Got things to do, people to see, places to go. I'm all out.
Lucy, this pause start doesn't work.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, did you see these pitch invaders over the weekend? What goes on in people's heads that makes them want to run onto a field with either their clothes off or like a Speedo on their pasty body? Like, who wants to see this? Who wants to do this?
Yeah, it's kind of the peacock syndrome. You know, look at me, look what I can do. Mm-hmm. Look how brave I can get. I'm the man. But most of the time, listen, you get these clips where they kind of sneak past like 15 guards and they get back on the stand and they become the hero. But that's like one in a trillion. In most cases, just get tackled to the ground and look completely foolish, you know, 3 seconds into it, or they trip over them, their drunk selves. So it doesn't look pretty.
You know, I thought about it. I should have actually just been a streaker, because then I would have been banned from going to rugby matches for the rest of my life. And then if my friends invited me, I'd have a good excuse. I'd be like, well, I can't because I've been banned for life.
I'd love to
come with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, Doc, this is an interesting thing. And we often talk about, you know, some person's wah problem every Monday. And I mean, I know this is what you do on a daily basis, but Jesus, you can only take so much. So today I wanted to ask you about something more to do with your profession, because I assume that AI has also become a part of what you have to pay attention to, because these chatbots. And I've noticed that a lot of medical aides, healthcare facilities are using AI chatbots to get a more accurate picture of what they're dealing with before you actually have to meet a person. So have these chatbots in psychology started to make a difference? And has machine learning been accurate enough to help people to diagnose themselves or to start the conversation with professionals? Can you employ this kind of thing in what you do?
So first of all, think about what people go to therapy for. Generally, people go to therapy, one, because the therapist is accessible. They can see the therapist whenever they need the help. Two, the therapist gives them sound advice. The therapist helps them to get from point A to point B. So I've got anxiety, the therapist helps me get rid of anxiety. I've got depression, the therapist helps me get rid of my depression. I've got marriage issues, the therapist gets me from point A to point B. And the third reason why people go for therapy is because they create a trusting relationship with another human being. So just to deviate a little bit, that's, you know, people think that speaking to someone is a cathartic experience, and it's the ability to spill out whatever's in your gut, whatever's in your head, is a therapeutic part. That's not true. The real reason why it's very helpful is because you have a trusting person in front of you that is acknowledging your presence. The reality is that that's the reason why we don't speak to walls, or we naturally disconnect for people that are not listening to us. Even though it's very cathartic for us, cathartic in inverted commas, because we were able to express what we feel and what we think, it's not very helpful because we're not being acknowledged. So where AI does exceptionally well, better than a human being, is the accessibility. You can access AI and chat to them at any point, chat to the bot at any time in the day. It's incredibly patient. It can explain things to you in a non-threatening, non-defensive way. It's got endless patience and can even draw pictures for you and can really bog down. You can bog down to the very minute detail and it doesn't get irritated. So the accessibility is incredible. The other thing that it does really well is in the diagnostic and the treatment capability. Medicine, robots completely surpass human beings in doing surgery. And in therapy, the fact that there's no biases, there's no emotional capacity to really just go and judge you in any particular way, it can give you really practical, objective advice. But where it does really, really, really poorly, or where human beings still play an incredible role, is in their ability to connect to a patient. The ability to be acknowledged by a real human being. Nothing beats the acknowledgement of a real human being. A robot, AI, cannot tell whether you are sad or happy unless you feed it that data. And even you might not even know whether you're sad or happy or anxious or frustrated. You're not even sure. So AIs are really bogged down by the biases that you have in your own head, or your own biases in terms of what you're feeling, and it's got to respond to those. While human beings can engage with you as a real human and acknowledge what you're feeling, which creates an element, an air of trust, which is part of the therapeutic process that AI just unfortunately cannot do just yet.
Tabo says, I chat to AIs every day at work to do my job for me. And I know lots of people are using these things to do incredible stuff, you know, especially where humans aren't necessary anymore. Like there's very rote work that you don't need a person for. These things will be more accurate. They'll be more helpful. They're obviously places that they can make a difference. But that connection thing that you were talking about, I don't know if we're ever going to be able to, unless the machine is so good at fooling you that it has a personality. We'll never get to a point where humans can go, I've got a connection with this machine. I mean, unless they're real losers who kind of live in their parents' basement.
Yeah. The machines, unfortunately, have not been able to replicate real human interaction, real human connection, really trusting someone. You know, Gareth, you know, when you're speaking to somebody and you're having a conversation with someone and you just know that they're not listening to you. And if I asked you, like, how do you know they're not listening to you? You wouldn't be able to tell me. But there's something in their body language that maybe they nod at the wrong time, or maybe they don't laugh at the joke that they normally...
I find a good sign is that they're not listening to you is if they get up and walk away. I mean, I'm very literal, but I mean, I think that's usually a good sign that they're not listening to you.
Huh? Okay, so if they block their ears and walk away, that's your sign, hey?
Yeah, if they go like this, then you're like, I don't want to hear you, I don't want to hear you, I don't want to hear you. Then they're not listening. That's what I think.
human beings are really, really good at picking up these subtle signs that shows us a form of disconnect. Robots, unfortunately, cannot do that. And you know you're speaking to a robot. You know you're speaking to a person that's not really emotionally invested in your life, that isn't going to follow up with you because they really care.
Unless you're so stupid that you think it's actually a person replying to you.
So what robots have been able to do, and if you played around with, for example, these AI models, you'd see that they're really, really, really good at pretending to be human. And you can easily fall for it. You can easily, within 2 minutes, think that you're speaking to a real human being. But once you dive in, you double click on your personal life, you speak about, you know, whether something's hurting you, something's upsetting you, someone is disappointed you, something that's meaningful to you is under threat, you realize that you're actually speaking to a computer that actually does not care about your life. It just cares about the input and the output. That's it. So it becomes really clear when you're talking about things that are of value to you, but it's very, very murky and unclear when you're talking about facts. So add this up for me, or, you know, give me some suggestions of where I should go, what I should do. I'm planning a trip, you know, almost like a shopping list of things that I should be doing or should be thinking about. It's incredibly effective. But in terms of building trust and empathy, we're not there yet.
I think, to me, a hybrid would work quite well. Just thinking in my mind in terms of experiences with therapists, I've never been 100% honest with my therapist. Thanks, Gareth. You might as well walk away.
I'm sorry, I just put my hands over my ears. I was like, I don't want to hear from her again.
I've never actually been completely honest with my therapist. There are things that I've never told anyone.
But Leanne, what's the fucking point then?
You see, but it's in a strange way, it also has to do with whatever condition you have. And you might be ashamed of some things. But so, I mean, if I were to sit at home by myself and try and figure out my condition with AI, I would be a lot more honest to the machine. But I'm not going to trust their answer as I would trust yours, Dr. Hanan.
So, but that's because we have a relationship, right? So that's the difference. But you know what the other thing, Leanne, that you got to consider? That you might be sitting in front of a therapist and think that you're being maybe dishonest, or think that you're sitting in front of AI and being completely honest. But there's an issue with that, because you're assuming that you know what's going on in your head. You're assuming that you understand that when you speak to an AI, you're being completely transparent and open. But you remember, you're fooled by your own biases as well. So when you say, my mom is X, or my past is Y, or my boss is A, B, and C, you're assuming that you're being honest, but all you're doing is you're filtering through the data, through your own biases, and AI thinks that you are using or giving it real objective data, and it's going to respond to that BS.
Right.
Whilst a human being can go, so tell me, Leanne, you said your past is X, Y, and Z, but can we just delve into that for 3 seconds? Did your mother really? Did your father really? Do you think we should be even talking about the past as opposed to moving forward? So a human being can press back and push back, and AI just accepts that as facts. And you think you're being honest, but actually you're being fooled by your own brain.
Slippery Pickles says, Leanne, I think this is quite useful to you, or probably will be. Slippery Pickles says you're supposed to open up to your therapist. It's the psychiatrist that you lie to.
Yeah, this medication isn't working. I need something stronger.
Congo Chris says, not everyone will be honest with AI, though, as Dr. Hanan has just said. People will exploit the prompts to try to force a particular outcome. That's why I say fully automated psychiatry will enable drug-seeking behavior. You think that's possible, Doc?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Because we naturally tell people what they want to hear, because we want the feedback that we want, and it will enable our addiction, our so-called behavioral addictions. So naturally, you're going to feed people, and especially AI, things that you wanted to feed back to you as a loop for you to keep on reenacting or repatterning your life. But with a human being that you have a trusting relationship with, you don't know how many times in the day I turn to my patient and say, I don't believe you. I actually do not believe you. You know, I mean, whilst imagine your AI telling you that.
Yeah. I mean, if you had to even just in your question to AI plug in the word abusive, you, Dr. Hanan, are going to say, but was it really abuse? Or, yes, that may have been abuse, but it shouldn't affect you in this way. Whereas AI is going to search abuse and bring it back an answer about poor you being abused, right?
Yeah. What would you do, Leanne? I know we're running out of time. What would you do if AI says to you, actually, Leanne, I don't believe a word you just told me?
Wow, I'd be like, looking at
exactly.
Because she just lies the whole time.
That's the thing. That's the last time you type in another message. But if you have a relationship with a human being and that says to you, I actually don't believe you, you can engage in a conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
So Dirk says, this is quite interesting, universities, God, this thing's bumping around all the time. Universities in Australia are testing using AI patients to train medical students instead of sending them to hospitals to do rotations with actual humans. So it's already happening, whether you like it or not.
In medicine, it's possible. I mean, we know that robots and machine can diagnose more accurately than human beings. We know that. We know that for a fact. But when it comes to developing a relationship with another human being as a therapeutic tool, robots are not there just yet.
How are women going to react when the computer also goes, you're fucking crazy? It's not just human men who say this to women. How are they going to react when even the computer says, no, you're just wrong?
Just press the off button.
Yeah, pull a zap sign and switch it off.
There'll be a lot of phones and computers thrown through windows. That's what's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's coming. All right, Doc, thanks very much.
All right, guys, see you soon.
Fantastic. We'll catch up with Dr. Hanan in a week's time for a little bit more of that. He can come and solve your problems too. You just email us, send us an email, contact@therealnetwork.com. therealnetwork.com, and we'll try to solve your problems. I've got like a halo effect here when I move. Do you see this?
Oh, you do.
It's very weird. It's almost like, so yes, you're not tripping first thing on a Monday morning. And I don't know what it is. I haven't set any kind of fancy settings on anything. And there's an actual background.
Well, it doesn't happen to me.
No, so I don't know what's going on here. It's very strange.
Are you a hologram?
I'm not a hologram. I'm a real person. In the next little while, we're going to be joined by George Meany, who you may have met once or twice on this show before. You know, he's quite well known to people who listen to this show and watch us on YouTube. And if you haven't subscribed and liked and all of that simple, straightforward, easy to do stuff that we asked you about every other week, then I'm very disappointed in you. Do it before we start the next hour, or we might just cut you off. We might just go into the comment section and just disable you permanently. Wouldn't that be terrible? Like and subscribe. We'll see you in a moment. George Meany on the way and a whole lot more.